Hey, everybody, I'm James Gunn. I'm the co-CEO of DC Studios. So, Peter and I, along with a group of very talented writers, have started to map out an 8 to 10 year plan of what DC Studios...
Hey, everybody, what's going on? Josh Wigler here with a special edition of the Everything is Super podcast. Breaking news are happening now, as we like to say around these parts, as James Gunn's DC Universe slate has officially been revealed. I am joined here, of course, by my colleague in all things superheroic, Kevin Mahadeo. Kevin, it's finally here.
It's happened. So much that I guess broke our podcast intro. That's how much this reverberation has shook it.
Well, it's like a serious. This is a serious moment, and I just feel like when it's a serious moment, you know.
Did you look at the slate? Because I looked at the slate. Serious moment.
I looked at the slate, and I have some serious questions. And so, Kevin and I, of course, if you are not listening to our regular Everything is Super coverage, then what you're currently missing out on is Kevin Mahadeo and myself, having rewatched the entire Infinity Saga of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, are now making our way through the DC Extended Universe. We were inspired by Black Adam, and then we launched the project, and then Black Adam tanked, and it got scrapped, and James Gunn and Peter Safran stepped in, and allegedly they were going to redo the entire DCU, and they were going to have a whole new slate and a lot of drama around, is Gal Gadot coming back? Is Henry Cavill coming back? Is all this, all that? No, Henry Cavill's not coming back. All sorts of things. And we heard from James Gunn that in January, the initial slate of DC Universe projects would be announced. Kevin, January 31st finally rolls around, and finally that DC Universe slate, with just one day to go, has officially been unveiled.
Did this had to me, when you look at the slate that we're about to talk about, had some last minute procrastination, day before the assignment is due energy?
Yes, correct. 100%. Some things on here that I think were highly predictable, some things that had, it turns out in retrospect, probably had been teased at. And then yeah, a couple things that, like, I don't know how you would have guessed. So we're going to go through it all. We will first try to do this without editorialization. We will just tell you what the slate is. You could look at the show notes. We have this listed out there as well. And then we will break it down. So first and foremost, Kevin, we have a name for phase one of James Gunn and Peter Safran's DC Universe, but it is not phase one. It is chapter one. It is chapter one of the DC Universe. Somewhere out there, Zack Snyder is triggered. It's like, but I came up with the chapters first. And the first chapter of the DC Universe is a very Snyderian name. God and Monsters is the name of the first chapter of the new DC Universe, and this is what it looks like. It begins with a currently in production, fully written, in the process of being animated, animated series, 7 episodes, Creature Commandos. I don't know what this is, and I'm going to have questions about this. That is thing number one. Thing number two is also a TV series, and it is currently coming our way in lieu of a second season of Peacemaker. Spinning out of Peacemaker, it's another HBO Max series. It is Waller. It's Viola Davis coming back as Amanda Waller. It is being written by Crystal Henry of Watchmen fame and the creator of the Doom Patrol TV series, Jeremy Carver. So Doom Patrol has been canceled, but, you know, things are still in the family over there. Then we get into the movie side of things, and we've got our first official dated movie, July 11th, 2025. Superman flies back into theaters in the form of Superman Legacy, written by James Gunn. No director announced for this. Peter Safran is trying to nudge James Gunn into directing the movie, apparently, but James Gunn is not budging on whether or not he is going to do this thing. Next on the lineup, Lanterns. It's just called Lanterns, it would appear. And this is a Green Lantern TV show, not to be confused with the Green Lantern TV show that was allegedly already in development with Finn, what's his name? Finn Wittrock, I think, is the guy.
What is a Finn Wittrock?
I think that that's right. Let's just be 100%. Yeah, Finn Wittrock. You'd recognize him if you saw him. He was going to be Guy Gardner. This was going to be a Greg Berlanti show. It is not happening anymore. Instead, a new Green Lantern show is coming our way, featuring Hal Jordan and John Stewart as the two Green Lanterns at the center of the show. Peter Safran describes it as very much in the vein of True Detective. He uses the words, it's terrestrial based. So that's exciting. Okay, moving on from the Green Lantern TV show. That was a sarcastic. That's exciting. Moving on from
what
the
happened?
Green
I have no one to paralyze.
Okay.
I'm here biting my lips.
Kevin, I said we're going to try. So we're moving on. That's the Green Lantern TV show. Next up, this would not have been even remotely close to being on my bingo card. The Authority, based on the Wildstorm superheroes of the same name, co-created by Jim Lee or created by Jim Lee outright?
I don't think Jim Lee did Wildstorm.
He was the founder of Wildstorm.
Yes. But the Authority, I believe, is Warren Ellis and Brian Hitch.
And Garth Ennis is associated with the Authority as well.
It's hard to keep track. Morrison wrote the Authority. You'll actually notice there's a lot of Morrison in these.
Ellis, Uma Oprah. So the Authority is a team of superheroes with rather extreme methods of protecting the planet. They are a 1990s superhero team. There is a whole roster of people there, and this to me is the one that's like, okay, well, you did the Suicide Squad, James Gunn, can you do another thing like that? And it's the Authority is the answer to that. So the Authority is coming our way. We'll talk about that a little bit more, maybe point some people in the direction of some comic books. Following that, another HBO Max series called Paradise Lost, which is described as a Game of Thrones style drama on the all-female island that is Wonder Woman's birthplace, Themyscira. It is filled with political intrigue and scheming between power players. It takes place before the events of the Wonder Woman films. This is what we are hearing.
Wait, what Wonder Woman films? There's no Wonder Woman films.
There's no Wonder Woman films. Beyond that, we get The Brave and the Bold, which is the name of a great series of comics, right? In which like different superheroes are mismatched or...
Yeah,
I don't know,
well, not mismatched, but yeah.
Mixed and matched.
We'll get into that. It mainly was a Batman comic specifically, but yes.
Once upon a time, this is the introduction of the DCU Batman, says James Gunn, according to the Hollywood Reporter's coverage of the DC Universe slate. This is going to be the DCU Batman movie called The Brave and the Bold. It is indeed going to take its cues from the Grant Morrison Batman and Robin comic books that were featured in the charcuterie board photo that James Gunn tweeted
out
about a month ago. It's going to be Bruce Wayne as Batman. It's going to be Damian Wayne as Robin, who is, yes, if you do not know, that's Batman's son. A father and son. That's my boy. It's going to be a father and son Batman and Robin movie that I feel like just be brave and bold and call it Batman and Robin. But that's neither here nor there. There will also be an additional Batman movie, but it is a DC Elseworlds movie. DC Elseworlds, an official subcategory of DC movies, has nothing to do with the DC universe. But Robert Pattinson is indeed returning for what is now being titled The Batman Part 2. Kevin.
Exciting name.
The Batman Part 2, Matt Reeves coming back to direct Robert Pattinson in The Batman Part 2, October 3rd, 2025, the same year that Superman Legacy launches. Then there's the Booster Gold TV show. Booster Gold coming to HBO Max. According to James Gunn, it is about a loser from the future who uses basic future technology to come back to today and pretend to be a superhero. It is imposter syndrome as a superhero, is the way that he has described that. The next movie that we get on the docket is Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, which apparently takes its name from a comic book miniseries by Tom King. Have you read this one, Kevin?
Yeah, I'll have stuff to say about that once we
get
there.
Cool, great. And then the final movie to close out chapter one of the DC Universe, Kevin, the one that it's all building towards, the event of the century is... Swamp Thing?
Swamp Thing.
Yeah, you are amazing. So yeah, that is the DC Universe slate as officially revealed by James Gunn and Peter Safran to select journalists. This was embargoed news today, January 31st, and we officially have that news. Kevin, your reactions at this hour?
My reaction, I have to share your reaction because this came out and you called me on the phone laughing in pure confusion. What is happening? I believe it was, quote, your
no,
take here.
I can tell you exactly what the quote was because I was embodying my inner Dean Pelton while questioning Jeff and Annie about their investigation into the ass crack bandit, leaning across his desk and pointing at the two of them and going, what is this?
What is this?
What is this? This is how I felt when reading through the DC Universe slate while I was out on a walk. I was walking through Brooklyn, New York, just staring at my phone. I was one of those monsters. And I was looking at this. It's like, what is happening here? I have so many questions. I don't really understand what I'm looking at. Kevin, help me understand what I'm looking at.
I think I looked at the article. I forgot which article I saw first. There's, of course, so many of them, but it naturally followed, I think, the order in which James Gunn, I think, announced these to the public. He released his video, I guess, on Twitter as well, so you could watch him talking about it. The first thing I saw, number one, said
Creature Commandos.
And I think I shouted to myself, Creature Commandos? And then I ran out of my room and said, Robin, you are not going to believe this. It is probably one great place to start here as we discuss these. And two, the most James Gunny choice, I think, when you think about, like, James Gunn is now in charge of the DC Universe. What do you think he's going to bring into, you know, into the world? Creature Commandos.
I don't know what that is.
I'm going to say, you don't know what this is, Josh.
What is Creature Commandos? Hollywood Reporter says, originally a team of classic monsters assembled to fight Nazis.
In World War II.
This is a modern take on the concept. Voice actors have yet to be cast, but the executives are looking to find people who can voice the animated characters and also portray the live action versions when the anti-heroes show up in movies and series. They're anti-heroes, Kevin, but they fight Nazis. How are they anything other than outright heroes?
Well, they don't do that in this version, probably. I mean, this is probably a more modernized take of them. They're sort of like your DC Dark, Justice League Dark. They're not magic characters, but they're like wet works. They do those types of like undercover outsider style missions a lot, but they're military based, so they're sanctioned by the government. They're led by Rick Flagg Sr. I think in this version, traditionally their leader is Frankenstein, as in Frankenstein's monster.
Frankenstein's monster is pictured in the Creature Commandos. Rick Flagg Sr. is going to be in this, so this is not Joel Kinnaman, but Joel Kinnaman's Faja.
Probably played by Joel Kinnaman.
Gosh.
That'd be very funny.
You know what? It wouldn't be the first time Joel Kinnaman has been put into improbable old age makeup. Just watch for All Mankind. They're still pushing it. They're stop making old Joel Kinnaman happen. It's not going to happen. Anyway,
there's streets ahead right now, Josh.
Streets behind, I think. But anyway.
But yeah, so like what a weird choice. But here's actually also a great segue into like what's really interesting about this announcement. Because this first foray, as you said, is animated. But the intent is to create one DC universe through animation, live action, movies, TV series, and apparently video games. So whoever's cast in these voice roles are going to be showing up as the live action versions of them. We're confirmed, I believe, Weasel is in this.
It looks like Weasel
played
is in this.
And voiced by Sean Gunn. So that will be a thing. So this is something we can prepare for that's, I think, very different. This truly, truly unified universe. I don't know how it's going to play out. It is ambitious. It is big. We have seen people talk about it. Hell, we've seen Marvel try to do it, and I have yet to see that pay off. So we'll really see how this is going to come to fruition. Leading with Creature Commandos, I think it's going to be a wacky, crazy show. I expect it, like the vein of like you're Invincible in a way of like...
You know what? Honestly, the artwork looks like it's
great.
It looks like it's Ryan Otley. Like it looks like Invincible characters come to life, even though I know that that's not it. But it does have that same Invincible vibe to it. I will shout out a colleague in the space, one of my my old colleagues at MTV who now works at Decider, the great Alex Zalbin, who had a headline that I could not wait to click, which was something to the effect of James Gunn's DC Universe announcements are very exciting and fix nothing. And like the substance of the article basically being like, we've seen like the DC Universe be rebooted and promised mm-hmm. that the reboot is coming over and over and over again. And basically nothing in these announcements make you feel like this will necessarily be the one. And I think that one of the things that is totally unclear to me is whether or not this exists within the DC Extended Universe canon that currently exists, because James Gunn and Peter Safran are being cagey about whether or not Jason Momoa will continue on as Aquaman. They're talking about Paradise Lost as a Wonder Woman prequel is taking place before the movies, which makes you wonder, like, well, then like Gal Gadot will show back up or will she not? And what happens to the person who plays Wonder Woman in the HBO Max show? And so what? And then what does that mean about Henry Cavill as Superman? Why do we have another Superman in here? And also, we'll see about Ezra Miller. Is the position on Ezra Miller right now as well? They're like, I think James Gunn is saying Ezra Miller, they are very committed to their recovery right now, and we'll see how that goes on the other side of it. So there's just a lot of questions that I have about its connectivity to the existing DCEU. I really figured that we were done with it, but we're also doing an Amanda Waller show with Viola Davis. So I'm just confused. I'm a little confused about its place in terms of continuity.
Honestly, the problem is that you're not thinking fourth dimensionally. No, not fourth dimensionally. Hilariously, though, you're not thinking, Josh, capitalistically.
Sure.
It's cynical, but if you ask me, from my perspective, what is happening here, it's very, very simple. This stuff is not happening for at least another year. We know the first movie is not coming out until 2025, which I did the math on how old we're going to be, and I cried.
I don't want to think about it.
But
you're going to be a lot older than me, though, luckily.
So much older. Inside jokes. Love to be a part of them. Yeah. When you look at what's about to happen, DC, Warner Brothers, Discovery, has a year worth of movies that are still tied to the old universe. Movies that are that they spent money on, that they're hoping are going to do well. They are having the Shazam Fear of the Gods, they have the Flash movie, they have possibly Blue Beetle, and they have Aquaman. If you pulled back the camera, there's probably some sort of weapon to James's guns pointed his way. Because you can't go on there and be like, well, this is the reboot of the universe. Everything else doesn't matter. Like, we're starting over. This is going to be what it is. So that's how we're going to proceed. Because you know what's going to happen? They're worried that people will go watch the big movies that they spent a ton of money on. So the answer is sadly capitalism. Like, they can't besmirch any of this stuff. They have to be cagey about it. They can't say such and such is coming back, such and such is not coming back, because it gives too much implication about like what these movies that are about to come out are going to mean. Now, the Flash movie we know reboots the universe, so it very well could. We don't know how that's going to affect Aquaman. I think Blue Beetle will play a part, because I think James Gunn came in with the intent of doing something with Blue Beetle. Amanda Waller can happen, because he says, in a way, he spoke and said, like, this is a different universe. We now have different universes. There's a multiverse. This is the DC universe, so some people are going to be the same. We've seen it in the Marvel movies. We will see it in the Marvel movies. I don't think this is crazy. I think it's just being very cagey, because there is clearly money-making capitalist reasons why they can't just say Ezra Miller is not the Flash, whether or not that's true. That's what I think is happening. The Wonder Woman show taking place in the past does not matter, because, like, did the Wonder Woman's movie happen? Who knows? Who cares? We don't see her yet. For all we know, Wonder Woman's going to show up in Superman. I mean, there's so many possibilities of where this could go, but I think this is a brand new universe. We're almost clean slate. Some actors will be the same, but mostly it's all new.
You know what? What you just described is about as convoluted as the DC universe ever feels to me. Correct. Which is to say fairly convoluted and almost
really right on the track.
And almost inaccessible. And this is why I have always been more of a Marvel guy than a DC guy. So I guess we're on brand. Like, it does feel like we are on brand. I can't quite understand it. So now I feel at home within the DC universe.
You did it.
This
they
is
did
good.
It. They really nailed
I'm
it.
I'm confused. I hear what you're saying. I don't know that I like it. And I don't know that it answers every question that I have, but we'll have a lot of time to parse everything out. Okay, so Creature Commandos up first. Just you can go and look at the Hollywood Reporter article. I'll put that in the notes as well, and you can see the image of the Creature Commandos. Art style is really cool. I'm excited about that one.
Same.
You hit on Waller, the Peacemaker spinoff, starring Viola Davis. I don't know that I've got much more to add there other than if we do not have an opening credit sequence involving Viola Davis just dancing around, I'll be furious.
I'll be very upset. I mean, we're losing a season of Peacemaker. It's being delayed. Honestly, don't know what it means for the future, right? Because who knows? But
should probably put Peacemaker somehow in the Authority would be my guess.
Oh, wow. That'd be wild.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, there's a whole other discussion to have with access now to do the original Watchmen type characters that the Watchmen characters were based on, of which Peacemaker was a comedian. So there's a whole world of possibility there. But yeah, that would be interesting. But I wouldn't hate it.
Can you read my mind? Do you know what it is that you do to me?
So Superman Legacy.
Yes, finally, here to think to talk about.
Let's talk about Superman Legacy. It is not an origin story, is what we are hearing. It focuses on Superman balancing his Kryptonian heritage and his human upbringing. He is the embodiment of truth, justice, and the American way. He is kindness in a world that thinks that kindness is old-fashioned. July 11th, 2025. Just 1 week shy of Independence Day, Kevin. So
I know.
It's so close to being the true American way.
I think they really were trying to aim sort of for that, right? But Independence Day is a dangerous territory to play in because other big movies come out. Mm-hmm. I'm obviously very excited. The fact that, yes, we have Creature Commandos and we have Waller, but honestly, their first movie being Superman, James Gunn kind of hinted at this. This excites me because I really do believe the opening with Superman is the right call. It shows an appreciation and understanding of the DC universe and its characters in a way that makes me happy.
Although canonically, Kevin, when they eventually lay out like the big Wikipedia page for DC Universe Chapter 1, it technically begins with Creature Commandos.
It does. Which, fine, whatever. But this actually does segue into something interesting. I mean, there's a lot to parse through this. I love that quote, right? He is kindness in a world that thinks kindness is old-fashioned. I think that really speaks to what the character can be and how it might be, how he might be portrayed. There's the other aspect of knowing now that the Grant Morrison Batman and Robin comics were actually a tease. We actually saw him reading All-Star Superman recently as well. If he's pulling from that, that's really interesting, especially with the title Superman : Legacy. There's a bit of that in All-Star Superman that's played with about what is Superman's legacy and how that plays into certain things. So that's kind of exciting to contemplate.
So you would say that people should check out All-Star Superman, the comic book, if they want to sort of get some early glimpses at what the movie might entail.
I mean, if we're just going off the fact that he was reading it, yes. But also just check out All-Star Superman. It's a great comic book.
Who are the bad guys in All-Star Superman?
A lot of people.
Lex Luthor?
Death? Lex Luthor is a bad guy for sure. It's really hard to describe All-Star Superman in that manner because it is almost
Mr. Mitzelplick.
He does not appear.
Ah, that's a bummer.
But Bizarro does. There's a lot of Superman villains that appear in there. Parasite. It's very fun, but it's classics. It's a throw up to the Silver Age, right? So it's very episodic in a lot of ways, but has like a linear story that plays through. It's really well done, phenomenally drawn by Frank Quitely. Highly recommend it if you're a Superman fan. But if you're a Superman fan, you probably have read it. If you're not a Superman fan, it's a dense one to jump into. But why not? Give it a shot.
Why isn't this movie just called All-Star Superman? Wouldn't that have been exciting?
I mean, there's already an animated version, and I'm sure there's lots of like rights issues about like what can it imply, what can it doesn't. It's a whole thing, I'm sure.
I think it's just a very generic title.
What does it mean though? I will say this, based on what we've seen and from Superman Legacy and saying it's not an origin story, the fact that Creature Commandos exist, the fact that we know Waller's there, and we're about to talk about it soon, but the Batman thing of the Brave and the Bold, I'm actually really excited because it feels like we're jumping into a universe that exists, like a universe in motion. We're not coming in at Iron Man. He's the first hero showing up here. And then we're going to tell all about these other things and we're going to slow introduce one by one. We're coming to a universe fully formed. And I think that's interesting and that's pretty cool. These characters are going to have history with each other, probably. They're going to have history onto themselves that we're going to uncover and learn about. And it's not just going to be, here's my origin story. I think that's fun. I think that's exciting that we're going to be introduced to a world that is here. Right. Hence why I think like Wonder Woman could just show up in one of these movies, because why not?
Yeah. Just which Wonder Woman is it going to be? Anyway, but I agree. And I think because like this news, I mean, 2025, we are a long way from Iron Man coming out in 2008. There is, you know, almost 20 years that DC is going to have to catch up on. We kind of have to start in media res.
Yeah.
So I am with you on that. I think that that's fine. And we are trained by nearly two decades of superhero movies, I think, at this point in time, to accept that, to tolerate it. We're not back in the day where, you know, building to Avengers was a gamble. There's no like gambling towards that anymore. So let's at least like, you know, throw us into it, I think is totally the way. So Superman Legacy, this is the one that I bet James Gunn ends up directing it. I feel like if James Gunn doesn't direct it, like that's an opportunity to miss out on some pizzazz that I think that they need to. There's a certain element of pizzazz that's missing from these announcements. And I think committing James Gunn to directing this probably would have been a smart thing to do before unveiling the slate, personally speaking.
It's going to be an interesting one. And if he directs it, I mean, I had this discussion with my wife about it, where we're both really big fans of James Gunn, but we don't think he's done a movie or character that is like Superman. It's really hard to like pinpoint one. There's certainly a lot of like emotional moments and like intensity that can come from his characters, certainly in the stories he tells, but there's just a lot of like levity to it that will be interesting to see. I don't think, I'm not saying he can't do it. I would just be interested to see how it's done, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
it's not his usual, so I'm excited to see a different side of James Gunn and his storytelling with this possible Superman project, especially if he directs it.
God damn, that's beautiful. You're welcome, Canada.
Lanterns. It's an HBO Max show. It's Green Lantern, done in the vein of True Detective with Hal Jordan and Jon Stewart. That sounds really cool to me, but simultaneously, like, what are we doing if we're not doing a Green Lantern space detective movie?
That's the part that disappoints me about this.
It's terrestrial-based. Why would you just kill my enthusiasm with that hyphenated word, terrestrial-based? Come on.
Money. It's all about the money. I do think the idea of treating it like a True Detective, that they are solving a crime, is right. I think that's such a good take for Green Lantern. I always contemplated in my head, if I ever wrote a Green Lantern series, I would treat it like Law and Order, basically, where each issue or like small arc is like them solving a case on a different planet with different types of Green Lanterns, you know?
Man, there is another universe where DC got its shit together a couple of decades earlier, and it is so Law and Order that Chris Maloney is Guy Gardner.
Can you imagine?
Which would have been utterly incredible. What are you going to do?
What can you do? But that is a cool one, right? We haven't had a Green Lantern really since Ryan Reynolds. So to have like a Green Lantern series that takes this approach and is going to have Jon Stewart, I think is great. I think that's a really fun potential here for that series.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I think that they, you know, they got really shy of the Green Lantern concept because the movie bombed so badly, qualitatively certainly, and was not a financial success at all. But obviously, like, the Green Lantern concept is super rad. And if you're ever going to have success here with these movies and you're not getting it right with Green Lantern, it's not, the rest isn't going to follow. It's not that Green Lantern's like the cornerstone of the DC universe or anything, but that's, it feels like it's, especially in today's climate, should be a layup. It should be so easy to get this one right. And I'm not sure that I'm convinced by the approach.
I mean, they're never going to do a thing. It's really hard to do that. That's going to be like ACAB Green Lanterns, right? What the only series that has done it recently is like Andor.
Yeah.
And like, people don't make those swings.
All Lanterns Are Bastards is a great idea.
An amazing title for a show as well.
You know, Yellow Lanterns Are Bastards. Like, I think that there could be some pretty fun things to do with the Sinestro Corp there. The Authority. The authority is a thing, and I'm trying to remember who is in the authority.
Apollo, Midnighter, Jenny Quantum, I think is the future version at this point. The Shaman, I want to say.
Yeah,
a lot of different characters. They're original characters. It's one of those Justice League type parodies that was originally started. It's Wildstorm comics. This one is weird to me. You said this to me, where like this one feels like it was Warner Brothers being like, you need to do the authority, and James,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, this is the one where like I think you said that Creature Commandos is the one that feels the most James Gunn, authentically James Gunn, and I think the authority is the one that feels the most like, all right, well, if we're gonna make you president of DC Studios, then you gotta do another the Suicide Squad. He's like, but I don't want it. Like, but you gotta do it. He's like, can I do something close? They're like, sure. The authority is right here. Yeah.
That'll work.
It feels like that's how the authority got greenlit. I guess I like that there's a movie on here that was completely off my radar as far as a thing that would be on here. And I've enjoyed some authority comic books. It's been forever.
Exactly.
Since I've read
them.
Yeah.
Because we're also in a world now where Invincible exists, where The Boys exist, to critical acclaim and to much belovedness. The authority, honestly, is a bit of a dated concept, so I'm curious.
It's like proto The Boys, right? Like this is sort of like, it's got the bravado and the anti-superhero bent that The Boys has.
Well, Warren Ellis wrote it.
except if like the Vought superheroes were the focus of the story, instead of like it being Butcher's anti-superhero squad.
Right.
It's like almost the authority themselves are like, they're kind of like the anti-superhero squad while also being superheroes, basically.
They're superheroes, and it's more like, it's not as like cynical, I guess, as The Boys with like, oh, they only care about themselves or whatever. They do see themselves as heroes, but imagine like heroes but fascists, I guess, is sort of where you're lending yourself to with the authority, hence the name.
Yeah.
And like, there's an interesting story to tell there. I think there is an interesting story to tell there. How they're going to tell it, how it fits into the broader DC universe, I'm a little bit iffy on. I personally don't love the Wildstorm universe and the DC universe interacting. That's a really big thing these days. But that's my
give me Wildcats though. Get me Grifter, you cowards.
That
bring Grifter and the
buddy.
And who's the lady with the white hair and the swords?
Oh,
like
Zealot.
Bring me Zealot. Grifter, bring me Spartan. Show me Wildcats.
That would have, like, if they didn't say the authority, if they said Wildcats, I would have laughed and laughed and been
I would have
so
lost
excited.
My mind at Wildcats. Wildcats was dope. That's like pinnacle 1990s
pinnacle
superhero
90s, 100%.
Stuff. Apollo and the Midnighter, if you do not put these two in a relationship with each other, why are we bothering with this?
Yes. That's probably the only reason to have the authority. Here, honestly.
Well, this is a really potentially big opportunity to have like an actual queer romance story in a major motion picture of the superhero variety that could not be edited outside of the United States. And if it is presented in a way where it could be edited out, it's a huge fail.
Huge fail.
This is like a really critical, important part is like the Superman and Batman analogs of the authority they're married to one another, I think, right?
Depending on continuity at this point, I would say, I don't know. They may have rebooted it where they're not
I'd
married.
Be down for
they're
it being
definitely
like,
in a relationship.
I would be down for it being meet cute territory and like, let's get into it. Like that could be fun. But if we're not going there, I feel like that's a really fundamental part of those two as characters. So I was excited about that component looking at the movie. I don't have a lot of trust in the superhero military industrial complex to actually go forward with it, but I do have enough faith in James Gunn as like a creative and compassionate individual that he'll fight for it really, really hard, and would imagine that was a big piece of wanting to do the authority in the first place. Paradise Lost. This is the Wonder Woman TV show. This is going to be Game of Thrones in the DC universe. Cool.
Can I imagine George R. R. Martin getting like a dollar every time someone pitched and used the words Game of Thrones within the last decade? He'd be rich off that alone.
He's already quite wealthy.
He is. He'd be, that's what I'm saying. If it wasn't even for that, like, I want to be excited, but like, nothing kills my excitement than the usage of those words. I know it's like,
it's an easy elevator pitch,
it's
right?
It's an elevator pitch. It's a markety, buzzwordy, like, title, especially right now for House of the Dragon. Like, of course you're going to use it, but miss me with that. What I do think is interesting is that, honestly, I don't care about the what was the world of the hero like before the hero showed up. But hey, if Superman can have that with Krypton, if Batman can have that several times, including Gotham, have at you, Wonder Woman. Have joy. You know what? You deserve it because the other two a-holes got it. So that part, I'm sort of like, all right, yeah. Wonder Woman is officially the same level as those two characters now because she is also getting a, hey, don't you want to know what Wonder Woman's like history before Wonder Woman was? No. Well, too bad. You're going to get it anyway.
Yeah, I think that the thing that I'm still just like not sure how to square up is this idea that it takes place before the Wonder Woman movies. So like I like the inclusion of that as a note it takes place before the Wonder Woman movies that exist right now just feels like,
well, it doesn't say exist right
now,
right?
An unnecessary note or one that requires additional qualification.
Exactly, it's a non-qualifier because it could be before the Wonder Woman movies that exist currently or before the Wonder Woman movies that will exist. It's such a great way to like use a phrase to mean nothing and everything.
I guess.
It's so smart in its evilness.
And I think it is cool that like the Wonder Woman movie, the first one certainly is like universally celebrated and we are now adjusted to like, what does her home world look like? We've got some of that mythology in place. You know that Ares is coming back. Like, there's going to be all sorts.
Mustache.
Bring it. I'm not going to be out here being like, I don't want to see Wonder Woman meets Game of Thrones. That sounds fun. So I like that. I look forward to that. I think that'll be a good TV show to cover in 2027. Post-show recaps will still be around. That's my bold prediction. Speaking of bold, The Brave and the Bold, which seems like a soap opera title. This is like the Young and the Restless of the DC Universe, Kevin.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You nailed it, Joshua. No, The Brave and the Bold was an old comic book series that essentially would team Batman up with different heroes across the DC Universe. So you'd have an issue where Batman's doing an adventure with like the Atom, or another issue he's with Green Arrow. The idea here was, obviously, Batman's a very popular character, and we like the idea of crossing our characters over at one another, so Brave and the Bold allowed for that to happen. Eventually, it became a series where it's just crossing over any heroes, not just Batman and anyone else. I believe The Brave and the Bold returned, in the early to mid-2000s with the same conceit of the Batman team-ups. How it relates directly to the Batman and Robin comics, I'm not sure. I actually think there may be a subtitle for one of the story arcs that's called The Brave and the Bold in that comic book series. But the who cares about the title? The real point is, this is the Batman of the DCU. This is whatever is going to be here. And again, showing up in a world in media res is exciting because we're going to have a goddamn Robin in existence. That's fun. That's cool. And not only that, he said that there's going to be the actual other members of the Bat family. This is Family series.
So that was said, Kevin. I have not seen that myself, but you have seen him talk about this is going to be the Bat family movie. Is the Brave and the Bold?
I saw it quoted somewhere, so I thought it was real, but maybe it was a lie. You can't trust journalism.
DC Studios teases Bat family appearance. This is a comicbook.com article. This is Peter Safran says, this is obviously a feature film and it's going to feature other members of the extended Bat family, just because we feel like they've been left out of the Batman stories in the theater for far too long.
Yes.
So that's great. That like guarantees Dick Grayson almost certainly. You would think
probably Batgirl for sure. Barbara
you would
Gordon.
Think Batgirl is finally off the HBO Max shelf. Hopefully, you would
imagine
think.
Like the different Robins that could be in here. Mm-hmm. The idea of a Bat family is very fun, and I kind of, depending on how this goes, I mean, Batman and Robin as a comic is very interesting. It's a Grant Morrison book. Highly recommend it if you like Grant Morrison stuff. It's a very fun Batman series. That series doesn't have Bruce Wayne as Batman. It's actually Dick Grayson. So that's a whole other thing. However, it's a really, really fun Batman series, over the top, interesting. I like this for a couple of reasons, because I was talking, I think, to you many moons ago, or not many, but a few,
some moons ago.
Some moons ago about like what they should do with Batman, right? Like they have Matt Reeves' Batman. What should the DCU version of Batman be? And part of me was just like, honestly, take him back to like the old days, man. Like give me the Batman that's going to wear like the blue or navy
you
cape.
And I were having this conversation while walking up one of the many hills of Lisbon,
okay. So
Portugal.
It was recent.
I remember having this conversation, and my pitch to you was just do Batman 66 as a TV show in the 2020s,
right?
And who knows what that will look like with the Brave and the Bold. I'm sure that it will be not quite that, and it's gonna be
that.
A movie, but like give us like a Batman who's like, you know, not so miserable and alone.
Right.
I think would be nice to see. And you know what? I would love it.
Just say
put Ben Affleck back in there.
Oh.
You know what? Put Ben Affleck back in there. Why not? Why not?
They won't.
I'm very curious to see who they will put in there, though. And I think it's a really fun opportunity. And I hope that it is a little bit more of like, you know, give me like a mid to late 40s Batman, please. You know, he should be in there, I think, and not just because it's some wish fulfillment.
I think it's some wish fulfillment.
But there's maybe a little bit of wish fulfillment. And then, so Damian Wayne, who is Bruce Wayne's son, Psycho Robin, he's like the terrifying Robin, and he is the son of Bruce and Talia al Ghul, the daughter of Ra's al Ghul, both of whom featured in the Dark Knight trilogy. I did have this sort of quick thought that, you know what? Bring Christian Bale back. Set this in the Dark Knight continuity. Have the Dark Knight be canon in the DC universe. Chris Nolan defected to Universal Studios, all right? No loyalty. Burn it all down.
Burn it all down.
So I don't think that's what they'll do, but I'm curious to see. And like, will we get the Al Ghuls in here? I don't think it would be too soon. Batman Begins was 2005, right?
I think the Al Ghuls totally work. I mean, that's Damian's origin, right? And I think they'll probably lean into it. The idea of if they take it from like what was in the comics, it is interesting for an established Batman who has, you know, this history behind him. He has these wards to find out he has this son, and his son is an assassin killer, and he has to essentially train him how to be a hero versus a killer. I think is interesting because it gives you this different side of Batman, this different POV for Batman that could be really fun and different than what we've seen before, which would be exciting to not just have the same like I'm Batman again,
right.
Not yeah. That I don't like that version, but one of the reasons like Matt Reeves' version is because it was different.
So that version in some degree continues because we are getting a sequel to the Batman Part 2, which is, you know, a grittier version of the character. This is an Elseworlds story. James Gunn is saying that the bar for entry for these Elseworlds stories will be pretty high. Joker and Joker 2 are counted among the Elseworlds stories, so Kevin may have some questions about the bar and the height of it.
I mean, the bar was these were ready in production.
Yes, but the Batman Part 2, October 3rd, 2025, I hope that they get to continue beyond that. Would be great. I would love to see Matt Reeves get to do a trilogy if that's what he wants. If he wants it to be a duology, that's cool too.
I heard
trilogy. That's not really a thing.
I feel like in another article I saw, again, I'm sorry to keep track of what these articles were. I saw someone say that it was going to be a trilogy, the Batman crime saga or something like that.
Yeah,
so,
the crime saga I saw. At least one more crime saga movie. That's cool. Can't wait for that. That's going to be very, very fun. I don't have much more to add on that other than thrilled that it's announced and dated. That's great news.
I'm thrilled about the use of Elseworlds. That does excite me because it doesn't say like the DC universe is locked off to other stories and other versions, which I think is key. I'm a big fan of Elseworlds concept in the comics, so give me some of that, please.
Sure, fair. Booster Gold, an HBO Max series based on a unique lesser-known hero created in 1986. I know who Booster Gold is. Maybe people out there listening don't. Do you want to give a quick tease of Booster Gold?
Yeah, they really nailed what it is. He's from the far future. He stole a super suit and a robot. I believe he was a ex-football player, and then came back in time to be a superhero so he could get recognition and fame. So there's definitely a journey here. There's been a lot of different not interpretations but directions for Booster Gold. The most recent one I really liked, a hero that the world doesn't really fully knows how much he's been doing, because he messes with time stream and like quantum leaps his way into putting right what once went wrong. famously, he is friends with Blue Beetle, and we know the Blue Beetle's movie's coming, so there could be some tie-in there.
That would be fun. Yeah.
There's Booster Gold is just, it's a very fun concept and fun character, especially with his robot. So there's a lot there that makes me also think, yes, Creature Commandos is the obvious, like, oh, of course James Gunn picked Creature Commandos. Booster Gold is the one where I'm like, this is tailor-made for James Gunn. This is a character and a concept that is tailor-made for this man. So this one is one of the most least surprising, but at the same time, honestly, if we're talking about James Gunn project specifically, the most exciting for me, because I think he is suited for this character in this project, were that to be the case.
So Booster Gold and Blue Beetle are commonly linked in the comic books.
Blue and gold.
To your point. And Cobra Kai star, Miguel Diaz himself, Cholo Maradueña is playing Jamie Reyes in...
Which I did not know and randomly guessed on a different podcast I remember happening. And yes, that's insanity.
He's playing Blue Beetle in the upcoming Blue Beetle movie. I'm just looking at Booster Gold and what Booster Gold's aesthetic is like. Can we not just get William Zabka and just have Johnny Lawrence as Booster Gold?
I can't walk. Even with the surgery, I might never be able
to... Go ahead!
Never. Can't. Those are just words. They're meaningless. It's time for you to get out of that bed and do something.
Can we not do this? Can we not have nice things? I just want to do what I can to put that into the world.
That is very funny.
I think it would be good. I think it'd be good. All right, and so that's Booster Gold, and then there's two more to talk through. There is Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, which is based on the Tom King miniseries, yes. Which I don't know much about, but I guess like gets into like parts of Krypton are still active after Superman is ushered out of Krypton, right?
No.
Great. Correct me, please. Tell me what this is about so we can get a little bit of a setup of what we're to
expect.
Honestly,
it depends on how far they go into it. So I read most of the series. I was enjoying a lot of it. Not to besmirch Tom King. He's a phenomenal writer. Really love his stuff, honestly. But the series was just like, this is a very wordy series, Tom. What happened here, Thomas? Which that sounds terrible because like I'm like, I'd like to read. I do like to read, but that's a lot of words on a comic book page. Anyway. The premise, though, is really kind of fantastic. The idea is that it's Supergirl in space. In the series, she turns 21, I believe, and she goes to drink in space because she could legally do so, or it might be 18, but she's drinking in space, and she encounters this girl who's on a revenge quest against these people that killed her parents. Mm. And so she hires Supergirl to help her hunt down the people responsible for the murder of her parents, and they go essentially on a like a world-hopping space adventure, and they go to, you know, different planets and encounter different species and have like different things that they solve and do, all in the quest of revenge. This sounds familiar. It is your classic like samurai style western story, right? Like that is such a go-to. If it sounds a little bit like The Mandalorian, you ain't far off. So this Supergirl is a little more aggressive, obviously. This is a different take on the character that has been happening, I think, relatively recently, how to differentiate Supergirl from Superman. She's like, she was raised on Krypton, so, and she's a teenager, so she's more aggressive and she doesn't mind beating people up and being hired as a bounty hunter, depending on the thing. So like, this is a different take, right? It's going to be different from the one that we've seen on the CW, which is more of your traditional type of Supergirl. But it's a very fun concept, and I think that's cool, right? Like the idea of this like space hopping revenge quest adventure story.
Yeah, that's what the Green Lantern thing should be too. So like, I hope maybe they're investigating Supergirl would be cool. I look forward to that. I think it'll be cool. Very, very excited about that one. I have no notes. I just want to see it. I hope that Superman does really, really well and launches all of this stuff into the stratosphere, and specifically Superman does well so that Supergirl is like a very easy sell to move forward with and all of that good stuff. Final one up. It all builds to this. Swamp Thing.
Yeah. You are so great.
Yeah, he is. He's amazing.
Wild.
So Swamp Thing is a horror film that promises to close out the first part of the first chapter. So it's not the chapter closer. We don't know what the chapter closer is. What we've been offered is like a DC charcuterie board. Ironically enough, it seems like that James Gunn put some sliced meats and cheeses and crackers, maybe some apricot jam on the table on like the wood board. And we're just like, this is like, what's it? This is what's out here. We've got more stuff. We've more food coming. But Swamp Thing being the final thing is just like a hilarious kind of anticlimactic note to end the slate on. But I'm here for that. I think Swamp Thing could be amazing.
I suppose. I don't dislike Swamp Thing. I just wish I cared more about Swamp Thing, honestly. There's people who love Swamp Thing. And listen, I'm not going to besmirch it. There's obviously Alan Moore's renowned run that sort of really redefined the character for a long time. Scott Snyder, relatively recently, Jared the New 52 relaunch Swamp Thing, very, very good. There's been a couple others here and there, and I think right now there's a really good writer on there, but I can't pinpoint it in my head.
I'm sorry.
But a very like popular character, very different part of DC, certainly has, I think, lends itself to horror. So it could be very, very cool and very interesting. It's just really weird that that was the last one. And at the same time, to wait until like a couple of years and see how things are swinging before you're just like, it's all building to Justice League. I think it's probably smart, right? Because like everyone expects Justice League, but then you end up in a situation where you're just like, oh, it's this again. So I don't know. I see the logic. It's just a weird choice.
It's a weird choice. I think maybe they wanted it. They maybe could have ended it on a little bit of a sexier note, and yet they ended it on Swamp Thing. And I guess I, to some degree, applaud the bravery and the boldness.
The bravery and the boldness.
Of the announcements. But this is just our initial reactions. The DC conversations continue. We are interrupting the DCEU watch right now. We've got Shazam, the original, coming up later in the week.
Have you watched it yet?
A curious time to be talking Shazam. I have not yet watched Shazam, so unfortunately I have some outside influences maybe coloring my experience. We'll see. Hopefully the movie is just transcendently great. I look forward to that. That's going to be recording in a few days still, so it'll be dropping a little bit later than the DCEU movie podcasts have been dropping, but not by much. So you've got time to send in feedback for that if you wish. super@postshowrecaps.com is our feedback form. If you've got any feedback about the DC slate, we'll get into it on the Shazam podcast as well. Make sure you're subscribed to the Everything is Super Post Show Recaps podcast feed. You won't miss anything super heroic that Post Show Recaps puts out there into the universe, including coverage of Hulu's Extraordinary coming soon from Jason and Sasha as well. Follow Kevin on the internet at Kev Mahadeo, at the Mahad Man on Instagram as well. I'm at Ren Howard, wherever you can catch me. And Kevin, since the DC Universe slate is building towards Swamp Thing, so should we. We will have a little Swamp Thing to close us out on this podcast. Until next time, everybody, take care. Bye-bye. You are amazing.